you think he's
Mr. Scott? Oh, Miss Scott, I'm sorry.
May it please the court, counsel for the government. The district court erred when they failed to consider the 3553A factors when they sentenced Mr. Lindsay to a 60-month sentence based upon a supervised release violation. The magistrate judge's explanation, which was later tendered to the district court for approval on the order, simply listed two criteria for determining that the 60-month sentence was appropriate. One, that there were crimes of violence committed that resulted in injury, and two, that he was released from custody within approximately 2 weeks prior to committing the new violation.
But doesn't just that show that the district court considered the 3553A factors relating to the need for a sentence to reflect the seriousness of the offense and to promote respect for the law, you know, afford deterrence, adequate deterrence, and protect the public from future crimes?
Your Honor, in reviewing the record, if we look at pages 90 to 93 of the transcript, which is where the magistrate judge did go into his explanation of the sentence, and if we look at the written recommendation that he tendered to the district court judge, there's no reference to the 3553 factors, and I do understand that there's not a requirement that they specifically state or list out the 3553 factors, but there is no reference to the 3553 factors, and the only reference to the guidelines themselves is that he mentions that they exist but does not explain in any great detail why there's a departure, such a great departure, 23 to 30-month departure.
But it was very serious criminal activity, and the 60 months doesn't seem excessive in relation to the nature of the crime.
Well, the nature of the crime is simply one aspect that the court is to consider when making the determination of this.
Well, were you his lawyer at the...
No, Your Honor, I was not.
Did his lawyer press other concerns on the judge and say, well, it looks bad, but there are extenuating circumstances or special circumstances of his life that would argue for lenity?
Your Honor, I did not see that in the record in my review, but... The other side of that is in looking at it when considering the nature and circumstances of Mr. Lindsay, the only nature and circumstance that was considered was the fact that he had been previously convicted and released on the case that resulted in him being placed on supervised release violation. There was no deeper analysis of him or even.
But if his lawyer doesn't push the judge, I don't know what more you'd expect the judge to say, except this was a very serious, this was not a normal, you know, just incidental violation of probation. This was very serious,
and
a five-year sentence seems quite appropriate, actually, for it.
And there wasn't an objection to the magistrate's report and recommendation, was there?
Your Honor, there was an objection filed without further explanation. I believe that was filed on June 23rd. On June 26th, Mr. Lindsay himself filed a pro se letter with the court. Judge Barker issued her ruling, I believe, on July 22nd, and it was listed, and it was actually a file stamp for July 24th. And then Mr. Marsh, the attorney that represented Mr. Lindsay at the supervised release violation, filed an objection after that on August 4th. Judge Barker, the district court judge, denied that objection based upon the timeliness of the objection.
Right.
But we believe that even without the objection that it should be reviewed, Judge Barker would have had an obligation in signing off on the order to make sure that the ruling of the magistrate was based upon a complete review of the 3553 factors, and so it would be erroneous for her then to sign an order.
See, that's the push to get back that we have all the time. Let's start enumerating those 3553 factors and tick them off, right?
Well, Your Honor, we're not asking for them to be ticked off, just for them to be weighed and considered properly so that the...
Well,
so
he
that
did... I mean, that's what he did, what's required, though. He discussed the seriousness of the offense, the fact that he did it 2 weeks after he was released, and, you know, he may not have talked about his family situation, but, you know, he did hit most of them. Or most of them hit some of them.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Scott. Mr. Minkler?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Counsel, Josh Minkler, representing the United States. There are 4 points I would like to emphasize to this Court and like this Court to consider when reviewing the reasonableness of this sentence for Mr. Lindsay and hopefully affirming his judgment of a 60-month sentence. The first is that the advisory guideline range was correctly determined. That is not an issue here. The second thing is that the sentence within an advisory guideline range was considered by the court. The third is that the court found that the advisory guideline range was too lenient because of the nature and circumstances of the offense. And the fourth is that the court found the advisory guideline range too lenient because of the history and characteristics of this particular defendant. I won't review the facts extensively except to say that Mr. Lindsay was released on supervised release on March 13, 2008, and then after a hearing, the court determined that on March 27, 2008, he committed 3 crimes of violence, which resulted in injury to the victim. The advisory guideline, of course, was 30 to 37 months, which both parties agreed was appropriate as to what the advisory guideline range should be. And that was considered by the court. And I think what the court found, and certainly I would emphasize, that the way supervised release guidelines are calculated are certainly not as thorough as the way sentencing guidelines are calculated with regard to crimes. That is, it's A through D violations, and your criminal history is the same as it was as when you committed the original offense. So, quite frankly, it doesn't matter if you commit 1 crime of violence or 3 crimes of violence. Your guidelines are still 30 to 37 months. It doesn't matter if the victim is injured or not injured. Your guidelines are still 30 to 37 months.
Well, 60 months, the maximum that he could have given?
Yes, the range would have been 0 to 60 months. 5-year supervised release was the original sentence. And it also, the advisory sentencing guidelines would not take into consideration when this crime was committed in result to when he was put on supervised release. His criminal history was going to be 3. It wouldn't have mattered if he committed this violation the day he was placed on supervised release or, you know, 4 years, 360 days.
Is he a drug dealer, is he? Or?
That was the original. He was convicted originally.
Is that what his earlier crimes were?
His earlier conviction was for drug trafficking. That's correct. And so those factors wouldn't take into consideration. If you look at the 3553A factors, and I agree they weren't overtly mentioned, it is clear that the factor that mattered most was the nature and circumstances of the offense. The judge, in pronouncing sentence, talked about the violent nature of the offense, talked about the fact that the victim was placed in fear of his life.
How old is Lindsay?
Lindsay's about 30, and my recollection is he was already at criminal history 3. On the original conviction, he was convicted of a cocaine base violation. They had a retroactive application of the sentencing guidelines, so he filed a motion to be let out, which the court has discretion to grant or not grant. The court granted it. He was sentenced immediately to time served, got out, and 2 weeks later this happened. So we were back in court.
Back before the same judge?
It would have been before the same. What happened? It's delegated to the magistrate. The magistrate reviews it.
Judge Barker,
and then it goes back up to Judge Barker, who affirmed the magistrate's ruling. So the nature and circumstances of the offense was clearly considered by this judge. Also, it was clear the history and characteristics of the defendant were considered. He talked specifically in his sentencing about the fact that Mr. Lindsay was out of custody for only 2 weeks and only on supervised release for 2 weeks when this happened. And certainly, I think that could be argued or implied or inferred go to the factor of respect for the law, deterrence from criminal conduct, and a threat to commit future crimes. So I believe the record.
The necklace.
The necklace was, he was wearing the necklace that was stolen from Mr. Seals when he was arrested about 10 minutes after the offense was committed. So I believe and would submit to this court that the record in this case reflects that the court properly determined the advisory sentencing guidelines, properly considered those advisory sentencing guidelines, and found those advisory sentencing guidelines were too lenient based on the nature and circumstances of the offense and the criminal history of the defendant. Thus, the sentence is reasonable, and I would ask this court to affirm the judgment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mink. Thank you. Ms. Scott, does she have any time? Would you like another minute? Sure.
Your Honor, consideration of the 3553A factors when determining the sentence for a person it's an obligation that the court has. They must consider those factors when determining the sentence. It is clear that we must stretch information and we must stretch the record in order to determine that the magistrate judge properly considered the 3553 factors. We do realize that he considered the nature and circumstances of the offense itself, of the actual violation, but there were no other considerations made. There wasn't even a mention of his criminal history record, simply that he was released 2 weeks prior, because he was released 90 days before he was to be released from the halfway house. Your Honor, that is not sufficient, not according to the statute and not according to what is required for a judge to make a proper determination of a sentence for a defendant.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lindsay. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, I worked with federal.
We thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of